The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Hello, Rolene Marks. How are you?
Shavua Tov, KK, and all the fabulous listeners and the team there at Chai FM. How are you?
Very, very good. Thank you. How are you?
I am splendid. What a day. There's been a big news day in Israel. Oh, you could barely keep up, but keep up I did.
Okay, very good. So can we just talk about Rivlin? Apparently he's not very hopeful about the government actually being able to form a coalition or form coalitions, being able to form a government on Wednesday. What's your thought?
Shame. I do not envy the president this task. And I think nobody is more relieved than he is that he's coming to the end of his term. Not relieved that he's coming to the end of his term, but relieved that he probably doesn't have to do this again. But the president met today and is still meeting with the heads of various parties with the aim of hearing from them who they would possibly tap for a prime ministership. Now, we have a whole bunch of different candidates. We have the far-right religious party called Religious Zionism, them along with Shas and with the Likud backing or endorsing Benjamin Netanyahu for prime minister. We have Yesh Atid with the blue and white endorsing them for the moment. Yisrael Biteinu endorsing Lapid for the possible role of prime minister. We have Naftali Bennett's Yamina party endorsing Naftali Bennett as a possible candidate for prime minister. No single candidate has the 61 nominations, which is a clear majority. And the president, who is in the very, very unenviable position of having to choose somebody to do this by Wednesday, said last week that he's probably going to tap the person most likely to be able to form a government and not necessarily the candidate with the most support of Chavei Knesset or MKs in the Knesset. And coupled with this, we know that Naftali Bennett, who is being pulled by all sides, or both sides rather, met with both Prime Minister Netanyahu on Friday and with Yesh Atid Chairman Yair Lapid. And what they have agreed to is a possible rotation premiership between Lapid and Bennett, with Bennett going first and Sa'ar firmly putting his backing against whoever is not Prime Minister Netanyahu. So it is a very, very delicate situation at the moment. Pour the president a cup of coffee or maybe something stronger. I think after today he possibly needs it.
Delicate schmelicate. Rolene, what they need is somebody who's going to lock them in a room and tell them, we're not opening up these doors until you have formed a government. You cannot have a fifth round of elections.
We have tried that. We've tried it. It's called the Knesset. And unfortunately, we don't seem to get that right either. But hopefully, I mean, this is, we're still in the month of Nisan, the month of miracles. Hopefully, we can pull one out of our hat. No, seriously, hopefully we can. But let's see what progresses. The president hasn't finished meeting with party heads yet. And hopefully soon we'll have some kind of indication where we are going.
All right. Let's move on. Let's move on to Netanyahu. When does his court case start?
His court case started today, and we've had a very, very strong exchange of words between the Prime Minister, who just under an hour ago addressed the public, making his first statements since his first appearance in court this morning. So let me walk you through the day. The Prime Minister came into court, the Jerusalem District Court, to hear the opening statements. This is by the Chief Prosecutor, who opened saying that he has clearly abused his position of power and that nobody is above the law. The Prime Minister stayed for her opening argument and then left. He didn't stay to hear the first witness testimony. This is the allegations of corruption with regards to the media. And what we heard was quite an indictment coming from journalists at Walla, saying that they were encouraged to push away any negative stories about the Prime Minister and his wife, Sarah, and boost any positive stories with regards to them. And we heard from the Prime Minister just moments ago saying that this is actually not a trial. This is an attempt at a coup. This is a witch trial. It has nothing to do with the investigations. He accused the prosecution of whitewashing investigations, preferring instead to focus on him. Now, we've heard literally 10 minutes ago from the blue and white leader, Benny Gantz, who's also our defense minister and also possible prime minister. Remember, if we cannot form a coalition, and this is not in order by the 17th of November, according to the Basic Law Act, the prime ministership automatically goes to Benny Gantz. He has said that, no, it's not a coup. He says Netanyahu proved tonight that he is not fit to serve as prime minister, and he is the one who is trying to carry out a government coup. His attack against the state attorney's office was intended for one purpose, to delegitimize the outcome of the trial and attempt to gain unlimited power. A call on all factions to unite and find a way to replace him. Now, this could have bearing on who taps who as prime minister within the next couple of days. So the prime minister possibly wouldn't want at any odds this trial to start at the moment when there are discussions about who should form the next government.
Can we talk about Mahmoud Abbas? And this is quite interesting because depending on which news feed or news source you read, it's from a medical checkup to airlifted on life support. So, you know, what's the story with Mahmoud Abbas? Apparently he's on his way to Germany either way. That's the one thing that they all agreed on.
Well, we know he's not on life support. Okay. Let's make that clear, because he has been quoted speaking to the King of Jordan, giving the King of Jordan his support today following allegations that one of the crown princes attempted a coup. That's Crown Prince Hamza bin Hussein. He was accused of attempting a coup. So Mahmoud Abbas is not on life support. What we do know, and this is confirmed for sure from Palestinian news services, is that he has been airlifted to Amman in Jordan. This is why he's commenting to the king, and he will be traveling to Germany for medical tests. We don't know what the medical tests are about. This is not the first time that he's had to undergo these kind of tests. There have been all kinds of rumors swirling around the president of the Palestinian Authority for quite a while. He has suffered heart problems. He has had prostate issues, but he is not on life support.
Very good. So he's just going for some tests. We don't know what the tests are. So how does that work? He's gone from Israel to Jordan, from Jordan to Germany. Why didn't he just fly out of Israel?
Well, there's probably all kinds of different reasons, and that's a fair question. It could be that he didn't want to. Remember that we've had a lot of outcry from the Palestinians any time any kind of coordination with anything medical has happened with Israel. It could be from the Israeli side that if, should anything go wrong, you know, we don't want a case of Mahmoud Abbas blame or his followers blaming Israel for anything. And it also just could be a personal choice that he just didn't want to.
Okay, fair enough. Let's talk about Friday. Wednesday. Wednesday night is the start of Yom HaShoah. It is when the Jewish nation mourns the victims of the Holocaust.
Okay, so this is specifically, Yom HaShoah is specifically a day to remember Jewish victims of the Holocaust.
Yes.
We do commemorate International Holocaust in Remembrance January. Day, which takes place every January 27th to commemorate the liberation of Auschwitz death camp. And that is to remember and to commemorate all the victims of the Shoah. But Yom HaShoah is specifically for the Jewish victims, and it coincides with the date of the Warsaw Ghetto uprising. And Israel is starting to, you can certainly feel it in the air, we are starting to gear up for those very, very solemn 24 hours when the country will come to a standstill at 10 o'clock in the morning. We will change all our regular programming. Restaurants will be closed. We will spend the entire day listening to stories from survivors, bearing witness, making sure that we educate future generations. But something has happened that moved me today to absolute tears. Because of COVID this year, the March of the Living cannot go on like it normally would. So what they have done is they've placed messages from organizations around the world along the railway tracks to Auschwitz. This is visual. This is not in actuality. But amongst all the organizations, all the people around the world sending messages have been dozens of messages from the Arab world, from countries like Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, the United Arab Emirates, Egypt, and other countries. This is something absolutely unheard of. And I'm going to read to you from Najat al-Said from Saudi Arabia. She says, Jews around the world should know that they are not alone anymore. The Abraham Accords countries and other Arabs are on their side. Combating anti-Semitism needs to be part of our model for development and modernization. And I'll read to you from Masha'el Ashamiri. She's from Bahrain. She says, as the Nobel laureate Elie Wiesel warned years ago, to forget the Holocaust is to kill twice. The lessons of the Holocaust are searingly relevant to this day.
Amazing. Rolene Marks, that is where we leave it today. And I hand you over. Simon will be picking up for tomorrow. And I'm looking forward to hearing you and Simon chatting. Thank you so much.
So in other words, I'm going to be picked up by Simon. This is how rumors are spread, guys. This is how they spread.
I can't believe you just said that on radio. Ro, have a wonderful evening. And we will chat soon. God bless. Cheers.
God bless.
Bye-bye.